Now, we want to focus our minds upon the Word of God. Please open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, as we bring this wonderful chapter to a close. We're going to read the entire chapter this morning so that we may see the final four verses in their context. We have spent four messages on the first three parts of this blessed and wonderful chapter. And now, as we finish these last, five verses, 32 through 36, we want to see them in their context. So if you would, let's stand together and we will read the Word of God. If your health prevents you from standing that long, please feel free to remain seated. Let's give our attention to the Word of God. Chapter 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed are they? Or, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Amen. Thus saith the Word of God. Now let's lift our hearts in prayer together. Oh, beloved Father, gracious Father, great and good God, Thou hast loved Thy dear people before the foundation of the world. Thou hast made them the objects of Thy grace and lavished it upon them. How we praise and thank Thee for Thy eternal love gift of Jesus Christ, Thy Son. How we thank Thee that Thou hast expressed Thy mercy and Thy grace to us in Him. And how we praise Thee that as we lived in our little self-centered, self-righteous lives, Thou didst seek us out by Thy Holy Spirit and bring us in love to Thyself. Now, Lord, we have gathered today as Thy people. We want to honor Thee. I trust that our singing has been wholehearted and has been truly offered up to Thee as prayer and praise and worship. Lord, I pray that the prayers offered have been earnest and honest, was touched by our brother's prayers this morning, and I thank Thee. And, O righteous God, remember, I know that Thou dost remember. Thou knowest that in this very room this morning there are those that are lost. Save them. Please save them. And Father, there are those who know the blessed taste that God is good. They have seen that in the gospel is the answer to all things in this life. So, Lord, build them up today. Encourage their hearts. Reprove us where we need it. Rebuke us. Strengthen us. Heal us. Make us like Christ. Lord, make us to know. Make us to know Thy presence in this place. May it all be to Thy glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Beginning with Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon has taught his son the beauty, the desirability, and the benefits of God's wisdom. In order to capture his son's attention, Solomon has personified God's wisdom as a desirable woman. We refer to her as woman wisdom. Now, from verse 4 of chapter 8 to verse 36, woman wisdom tells us all about herself. And because of this, we have called the chapter Wisdom's Autobiography. As we have studied woman wisdom in this context, we have examined her claims in the light of the New Testament. And this has led us to conclude that woman wisdom is none other than Christ's wisdom. Christ's wisdom personified. And Jesus Christ, the crucified and resurrected God-man, is the greatest expression of God's wisdom to this world. In the sacred text before us, woman wisdom concludes her biography. We're not done with her yet. We will see her again in the next chapter. But she brings this aspect of her biography to a close. She promises life to those who hear her. She warns of death to those who do not. Hearing Christ, wisdom is truly a matter of life and death, temporal and eternal. We therefore entitled this message, Wisdom's Autobiography, Life and Death. May our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, the only wise God, our Savior, grant us the spirit of illumination as we consider the following heads. One, woman wisdom commands attention and promises blessing. Number two, woman wisdom promises life and favor. And number three, woman wisdom warns of disaster and death. In fact, were I inclined to do so, and I'm not, I could close the message now simply by saying, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, the God-man, crucified for sinners, resurrected that they might have life. Believing in Him brings life and favor. Rejecting Him brings disaster and death. That's the substance of what we are considering. That being said, let's take up heading number one. The woman wisdom commands attention and promises blessing. 8, verses 32 through 34. As Solomon ends woman wisdom's impressive autobiography, he puts the following words in her mouth. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, or blessed are they that seek or that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Precious words. May Christ give us light as we first take up wisdom's autobiography concluded. It begins in verse 32. Now, we sometimes do not appreciate the importance of words that connect one thought to another in the Scriptures. There are a number of reasons for that, not the least being the fact that when the Scriptures were given to us, there was no chapter and verse. It was easier to follow the context of what was being said because there's just something about the human mind that often when we read verse 26, then we go to verse 27, and then to verse 28, at each juncture our mind stops and thinks new thought and doesn't put it all together. Connecting words. For, therefore, and, but, sometimes the key to understanding what follows. And this is certainly the case here. Woman wisdom begins with now, therefore. Now, therefore. They don't sound like impressive words, but they're important. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield that put their trust in Him. Even these words are important to us. The Hebrew also bears the meaning of so now or and now. And it introduces Solomon's conclusion to wisdom's autobiography. Her autobiography began with her crying out. She's not whispering. She's not in an alley. She's not in a cave somewhere. She's not on the top of a mountain like a guru saying, well, if you can make it up to the top of the mountain, you'll have wisdom. She is crying out. That's how the chapter opens. That's how her biography begins. She cries out in the high places of the city and all the places of everyday life. Her crying out teaches us that we don't realize she's there. You don't have to cry out to people who are paying attention. We do not realize how desperately we need her. Her crying out shows us how urgent, how crucial it is to hear her. When someone is crying out, fire, or something like that, danger, warning. Why? They want everybody in earshot to hear and pay attention. There's a cost to not hearing. And that's exactly what woman wisdom is preparing our minds for. She speaks excellent things, right things, true things. What she says reveals God. That should immediately, like the hand of heaven, reach down into our bosoms and grip our hearts. Woman wisdom teaches us of God, reveals the living God. We want athletes' autographs. I mean, it's like, don't you want to know God? What vessel of dust do you think is really worth knowing? Woman wisdom is shouting because she wants men and women and children to know God. God and His way. The way He wants people to live. Her instruction is more valuable, therefore, than gold, than silver, than rubies. Nothing else in this world compares to it. So she teaches God's people to fear the Lord and hate what He hates. She gives God's advice to people. You hear that? God's advice. There was an advertisement years ago that when a particular large corporation spoke, everybody listened. Picture of people talking, and all of a sudden they all stop and look because this corporation is speaking. We ought to stop dead in our tracks for someone who's telling us what God says. We ought to stop and hear. She gives God's advice to people, to human beings. The kings, princes, and judges of the world rule by her counsel. She loves those who love her. She lavishes riches, honor, and righteousness on those who seek her. Who wants to throw those blessings away? Well, by nature, all of us. She emphasizes this by revealing her eternal authority and her participation in God's breathtaking work of creation. Before the fountains of the waters, the mountains and the hills, or the highest and lowest parts of creation, wisdom was there. Listen. When God created the heavens and the depths, the clouds and the fountains of the deep, and commanded the oceans and the sea to stay within their boundaries, wisdom was there. Listen. Pay attention. She delighted in creation, especially in men and women. That should make us thrilled. Remember, this is personification. Christ delights in those that bear His image, and He delights to reveal Himself. He Himself is called the Word of God. He wants men and women to know who He is, to know life. Extraordinary that God would delight in God-hating rebels. Now, He doesn't delight in their God-hating. He delights in making them His children, giving them new hearts, drawing them into His kingdom. If there is anyone in all the universe that can help a young person understand the world in which he or she lives, it is woman wisdom. The one who was there when God created the heaven and the earth. Is it not obvious? Is it not obvious how important her teaching is? How crucial it is to pay attention when she's speaking? This is Solomon's point. That's why he gives the autobiography. After setting forth this extraordinary woman, he's saying, "Son, before you embrace the world, make sure you embrace this woman, that you know God's wisdom." And woman wisdom emphatically drives her point home with, "Now, therefore." With this, Solomon the Wise Father introduces wisdom's command to pay attention. They're verses 32a and verse 33. Now therefore, because of who I am, because of all my benefits, because of my greatness, hearken unto me. We've heard Solomon charge his sons throughout the first chapters of Proverbs to pay attention to his teaching. A wise man will hear, he tells his son, chapter 1, verse 5. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, chapter 4, verse 10. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, chapter 5, verse 7. He now does it using woman wisdom's voice. She's saying the same thing to you, son. I'm giving you God's wisdom. Listen. It is vital for us to hear, to hearken to Christ's wisdom. Well, as she closes with this particular verse, she echoes what Solomon said at the close of chapter 7. There he says, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth." Chapter 7, verse 24. Now, there, in that context, Solomon was warning his son against the deadly seduction of adultery. Here, in a positive sense, in this context, he's urging his son to receive the blessings of God by faithfully walking in God's truth. Again, in verse 33, Solomon reinforces this. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. The verbs are powerful. Hearken. That means give ear. This isn't just an audio experience where the words come in and bounce off the ear pan and go back out or go through and drop out the other side. The idea here is taking in the information, mentally chewing it up, digesting it, and then going in its strength. Hear, hearken. Be wise. Be wise. Remember, in chapter 1, this is why Solomon says, this is why I'm writing the book. I want you to be wise. I want you to be wise. And refuse it not. Every parent in here that has children of at least older age or teenage years and into their young adulthood knows the excruciating pain of watching them make bad decisions. Sometimes they're like, not too consequential. Some of them are life-changing. You're never the same after them. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. Your sins washed away. But you will often, often be reminded from the bitter fruit of the consequences of your sin. As I was talking to a brother some time back who has very serious health issues because he didn't take care of himself. And brethren, the Scriptures speak to that. What and how much you eat does matter. And this brother was lamenting and was wrestling over a particular operation that he should or should not have. And I was trying to encourage him. And he said to me, "Now, I appreciate it. Thank you, and I'll be praying about the things that you've said." Or something to that effect. He said, "But I'm just reaping the fruit of sinning against God and not having taken care of my body." Decisions every day. Decisions matter. And sometimes things that we think are small and inconsequential can later have extraordinary effects on our lives. Solomon wants his son to give ear to wisdom. With a sense of urgency, he's saying, "Don't neglect this. My son, pay careful attention to what God says. God is not sitting on His throne offering you suggestions and options. He's saying, here's the way. Walk in it." To navigate the decisions of life is what wisdom is all about. Solomon is saying, pay attention and navigate the decisions, the relationships, the providences of your life by what God says. Whatever you do, don't ignore this. Don't disparage this. Don't neglect this. You do so at your peril. With a sense of urgency, Solomon yearned for the well-being of his sons, of his children. He knew the dangers of life in a sin-cursed world. My dear brethren, we should all sit up and take notice. Solomon himself, the wisest man that ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, fell away from his own wise counsel, and Rehoboam, his son, paid a dear price
for it.
What father can say he loves his children, yet will not teach them God's Word? I'm not here to put anybody on a guilt trip, but I am saying to you on the authority of God's Word, still have some fathers here who've been here for years who aren't on board with just daily praying for their children and reading them the Word of God. Solomon has been giving us all of these chapters, and he goes on to chapter 31. Why? He wants his sons, his daughters, equipped to look at this world and to be able to discern what is right and what is wrong, what brings glory to God and what brings His wrath. Who can say he loves his children and starve them? Starve them of God's Word. Oh, fathers, I praise and thank the Lord for every one of you that takes your role seriously, who fights for and struggles with trying to make that time to sit down and pray with and for your children and to read to them from God's Word and to point them to God's truth. I praise God, and I pray that your labors will be richly blessed a thousandfold to generation after generation after generation. May there be many stars, so to speak, in your crown, as you bring glory to God and do good to your children and to your descendants. Brethren, sitting in a church on Sunday isn't enough. And those of you that think it is, have a very serious shock coming at the throne of God. I cannot think of anything worse than seeing our children cast into hell before God consigns them, hearing them say, God is rightly judging me and casting me into hell for the sins I committed. But I lived under your roof for years, and you never prayed with me or opened the Scriptures for me. God help us. God help us. Solomon fell away from his own counsel, and his son lost the kingdom. At least at this point in his writing, he was still being faithful. And therefore, he motivates his son with wisdom's promises of blessing. By the way, let that be a serious, serious wake-up call here. If Solomon, if Christ Himself said there was never anyone wiser than Solomon, if Solomon can fall, where does that put us? It should put us at the feet of Jesus, saying every day, Lord, grant me the grace to bring Thee glory and to be faithful to You and to my children's souls and to my wife's soul. Well, there is this motivation now of wisdom's promises of blessing in verses 32b and 34a. For blessed are they that keep my ways. And in verse 34, wisdom says, blessed is the man that heareth me. All right? Hearken to me, you'll be blessed if you do. That's the idea here. Wisdom promises blessing. God's goodness bestowed to all them that truly embrace her. Well, what does blessing mean? That's one of those nice churchy words, right? Blessing. And very often we don't think what it means. John Kitchen puts it this way. And we're talking about blessing in this context. The blessing is not so much a subjective state of euphoric emotion. Euphoric means blissful, joyful. It's not so much a subjective state of euphoric emotion, but the objective state of walking rightly before God and thus having His smile upon you. That is, this blessing is not an internal feeling. Now that's what we want most of the time out of God. Help me feel better. Help me feel better about me. Help me feel better about the sins I've committed. Help me feel better about being a Christian. Help me to feel better. There's nothing wrong with feeling better, but that's not the goal. This is an external condition of observing His goodness and provision in our lives. That's the idea here. That God, external to us, objectively pours out His blessings of guidance and wisdom and encouragement and strength and protection when we walk with Him. In other words, when we repent of our sin, and brethren, as Christians, we need to repent of our sins. Believe the words of God and obey them in the grace of God, not in your own strength, but by trusting Him. We will experience God's goodness, God's guidance, God's gifts in our lives. Then we can experience happiness of heart. See, we want the happiness of heart first. The Lord says, no, come walk with me. All those things will fall in their place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Emotions do come. But it's because we know God and walk in His ways. That's the idea. Blessed are they that keep My ways. Well, then Solomon gives wisdom's description of a wise son. Chapter 8, verse 34. Solomon told his sons in chapter 1, a wise man will hear. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. How and why? In two short phrases. Watching daily at My gates. Watching at the posts of My door. Waiting and watching for wisdom. One of the great tragedies of our culture is its worship of celebrities. When there is word that a celebrity, an athlete, a musician, an author, a movie star, occasionally and unfortunately a preacher, is in the vicinity, people will line up to see their false gods. It's astonishing. It is truly astonishing. It's an act of worship. Here are the people that give me joy. Here is the thing that gives my life meaning. This is so exciting. This is so thrilling. I hope I get to see them. Maybe they'll touch me. Maybe they'll sign my forehead. People do ask for that, by the way. Foreheads and various body parts, unfortunately. People will crowd the airports where their false gods arrive. They will surround their vehicle. They will stand in line in hours for an autograph or for a fleeting moment to rest their eyes upon them. There she is. There he is. Some men worshipers are so addicted to their gods that they will find where they live and wait outside their homes, hoping to catch a glimpse of their heartthrob. When Elvis Presley was first getting famous, he bought him a nice big house for him and for his parents. But when people found out that's where he lived, so many of them would flock and stand outside his home, the people in the neighborhood were complaining. They couldn't move up and down their streets. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't come and go and get the newspaper, the mail, without there being crowds of people around. He just wanted to see him. Maybe touch him. They've waited. They would bring sleeping bags and wait for just a glimpse. People will do virtually anything to hear, see, to touch their gods. Well, wisdom now paints a picture of herself as a homeowner and someone worth the attention. She's in her home, and the picture being painted is people who are outside, wanting to see her, wanting to hear her. I've got to hear from Woman Wisdom. Now, what's this a picture of? Prayer and reading the Word of God, seeking Him and waiting for a word. That's somebody worth tracking down. Where does he live? Where can I find him? Here's the map. You want to hear his voice? He's not shy. He's standing in the high places of the city and in every avenue of life. Oh, we've got important things to do on the internet. We've got important things to do on our devices. We can find ways to do things with the time that we have and always make the excuse, I'm too busy to really read. I'm too busy to spend much time in prayer. It's been real busy, you know. Martin Luther used to say, I have so much to do today, I need to spend at least 3 hours in prayer. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to do what Martin Luther says. He may have said 5 hours. Right now, I can't remember. But that's what's he saying? I don't want to live unless I have a word from God. Now, I don't want to make us hyper-spiritual. I don't want to make us pretend like we've got to go in and hear some kind of voice every morning when we're reading. But what I am saying is this. Has Woman Wisdom described you and me in this passage? Watching daily at my gates. She's in there. I want a word. Waiting at the post of my door. I've got to get to her. Is that the way we are with our God? Let me make it as plain as I can be. How much time do you give to chasing after Jesus Christ? I want to know Him. I don't care if I never get anybody's autograph again. I don't care what so-called famous people I meet. I'm not interested. You say, man, you're like one of those bitter, weird people, right? No! I just know who's important. Wisdom. Christ. We ought to know Him. Give everything in our being to hear Him, to know Him, to catch a glimpse. Blind Bartimaeus said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. One of my favorite texts in the New Testament. And Jesus stood still. When we cry out to our God, He stops and he pays attention. He's not too busy for us. Do you seek wisdom? Do you seek Christ? Is it a wholehearted pursuit of Him who is worthy? You're not going to be worshiping basketball stars and guitar players in heaven. You'll remember every one of them in hell. But in heaven, it's all about the one that the wise have been looking for all through their lives. I want a glimpse of the Lord today. I know He's mine. I know He's the truth. I know He's the wisdom. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love Thee. Meet with me this morning. Waiting daily at my gates. Watching at the posts of my doors. One of the reasons there's so little power in the pulpits, including this one, is because so many of us do not spend time every week saying, "Oh, great and good God, help that weak vessel preach Jesus Christ this coming Sunday." We want to hear from Thee. We want a glimpse from heaven. We want a ray of light to shatter our darkness. Lord God, meet with us. When was the last time you wrestled with God? Jacob said, "I'm not letting go until You bless me." If every one of us prayed like that, we couldn't keep the people out of here. We wouldn't be saying, "Oh, it's so restrictive there." We'd be saying, "We meet with the Savior there." Robert Murray McShane, God filled him with the power of the Holy Spirit and revival came to his area of Scotland. He would preach for hours. And when he would leave, the people were lined up all the way to his house saying, "Tell me more about the Savior. Tell me more about the Savior." Today, we're watching our clock and going, "Man, how quickly can we get out of here and still be good Christians?" We need wisdom, y'all. We need the Lord Jesus. We need Him. And He's not hard to get to. He's in the high places crying out to the sons of men. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." What would you trade for that? Well, my dear brethren, young people, this is the way believers should be. Earnestly, zealously yearning for wisdom. Christ's wisdom. We're not talking about perfect people. We're not people talking about just, you know, thinking because I carry a big black Bible and I don't go to movies, I'm better than everybody. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about a heart hunger that's satisfied only by knowing the living God. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. And that brings us to woman wisdom and her promises of life and favor. Verse 35, the sacred text now says to us, "For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." What a blessed promise. Who does not want favor from the Lord? You don't really have to raise your hand, but be honest. Who wants the blessings of the Lord? Who wants favor from God? Who wants it? It's available. It's available. We don't have to climb the highest mountain or swim down to the deepest crevice in the trenches of the wide, wide ocean. We believe in Christ. The Christ set before us in the gospel of God's grace. To find Christ's wisdom is to live the way God intended life to be. Listen, what's life in this world? Well, Solomon's trying to get his son to understand it's being faithful to the covenant. That was their covenant. We have a new covenant. We have a better covenant. It's based on better promises, the Scripture tells us. But Solomon is telling his son, "Oh, my son, if you want to stay in the land, if you want to know the blessings of God, if you want to be rich beyond your wildest dreams, and I don't mean with silver or gold or rubies, embrace woman wisdom." We now know that's Jesus Christ. Woman wisdom is not Christ Himself, but His wisdom set before us. There it is. There it is. Understanding who woman wisdom is brings all of this to a head. Solomon means the Lord's wisdom, which we now understand to be Christ's wisdom. And we can know blessings in this life, but it reaches far past that. Listen, it reaches far past that. This life is a smoke. It's a vapor. You young and pretty young women and men, the day's coming where if the Lord doesn't take you another way, you'll see what I saw a few weeks ago. You're going to be a lifeless gray body, mouth hung open, eyes rolled up. Nothing pretty. All the makeup in the world won't make it look good. Death is coming. Death is coming. Death is coming. I want to find life. Do you want to find life? It's far more than just the life in this world. It's eternal life. Eternal life. Finding Christ's wisdom means finding Christ Himself and eternal life. Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." John 14:6. Jesus gives life. Jesus is life. He's life. He's joy. He's peace. He's contentment. But it's Jesus Himself. You've got to know Jesus. One of the greatest tragedies in my mind is someone who goes to a church week after week after week after year after year after year, and they hear sermons, and they go out and live like the world, thinking that they're going to heaven. And there's one reason. They've got religion, but they don't have Jesus. Jesus is life. Life! Life. Oh, I want everybody here to have life in Christ. Awake, alive, new eyes, new ears, new desires. Wanting the things of Christ, not the things of the world. Wanting to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," instead of the praise of men. "Whoso findeth me findeth life." It's real life. It's clean life. It's pure life. Well, it doesn't mean that we become perfect in this world. That doesn't happen. It means we have a new heart that desires Christ. Not only that, obtaining favor of the Lord, what a great glory and beauty. By the way, this in no way sets before us a works-oriented message. Don't mistake this when it says, "He that findeth me findeth life and obtains favor of the Lord." The idea here isn't meriting eternal life, because it's not talking about the way that we're saved here. It's talking about walking with God, those that are saved. This does not imply salvation by the merit of good works in any way. It means living a life of intimate fellowship and loving obedience with God. And as a result of that intimacy with Him, we gain favor, blessing. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the delights of your heart. I mean, there are those that twist it to say, "Oh, well, if I'm faithful to God, He'll give me a big car because that's what I want." No, He's saying, if you want me, I'm available. Come to me and know life. And when we do come to Him, as we walk with Him, we find great blessing. Christ put it this way, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You hear that? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. See, this isn't works, for in the sense of meriting salvation, this is those who profess to walk with God, glorying in their God, learning, receiving His blessings as they walk by love and faith with Him. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This is not talking about how you're saved. This is talking about how you walk with the Savior. Now, this does not mean obeying Christ will make you his friend. It identifies those who are his friends. Don't miss that. Yeah, must be a lover of Christ, because he just loves to walk with Jesus. He's not saying, okay, Lord, what I need for you to do is come right down here on the sand and draw a line for me that has the world on one side and me on the other, and let me, so I can get as close to the world as I can without falling over into hell. He doesn't do that. He doesn't play that game. Jesus just said, if any man will follow after me, let him take up his cross and deny himself daily and follow after me. It's just one line to follow. It's the mark that the cross is making behind Jesus as he carries his. My dear brethren and young people, your life says that you are Christ's if you love him and keep his commandments. You do what you do because you love him. That's why looking at his cross fills us with an understanding and with a love for him. My nasty thoughts, my wicked words, my evil deeds hung him between heaven and earth, and he bore all of God's fury for my sins. Where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to be? Say the word. This is a love affair. Well, finally, woman wisdom warns of disaster and death. We have the call to life. We have the call to life. He gives us the call to life first. Woman wisdom simply says, walk with me, which means walking with Christ. But don't confuse them. He says, but you know, there is a consequence to rejecting me. Woman wisdom warns of disaster and death. This is crucial. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that did hate me love death. Have you ever looked at death? Have you ever really seen it? It's not pretty. To sin against God's wisdom is to sin against God Himself. And this always and only produces self-inflicted wounds. Self-inflicted wounds. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Wrongeth his own soul. God made us in His image. If wisdom means skillfully navigating life according to God's Word, then to sin against wisdom means we will not navigate life skillfully. There'll be wreckage and damage and bodies, if you understand how I mean that, piled up behind us. That's the way some people's lives are. Look at the wake from their boat and see what's in it. All of us here, even as God's children, can look back and see the tragedies and the monuments to our sin behind us, can't we? I don't like looking back any more than I have to. I'm going to keep looking at the throne. But we will bring sorrow, sadness, guilt, frustration, heartache, and pain into our own lives and to others when we cast off the wisdom God sets before us. Without Christ and His Word, our lives are filled with bad decisions and broken relationships. To cast off God's authority by casting off the authority God places in our lives, our parents, our church, our government, bad as it is, we do nothing but damage ourselves. And in our foolishness, we usually blame someone else. That's why this verse is so important. Wrongs his own soul. For almost a decade, I had a prison ministry. And regardless of the men that I talked to, professing Christians or others, their being in that jail always had to do with somebody else in some way or another. Wisdom says, you can take that story and throw it away. Burn it up in the fire. You have wronged your own soul. And everyone in hell will be thinking just that way. They will stand before God in the day of judgment. They will know there will be a trembling. There will be a fear beyond anything that we can possibly imagine. They'll know that they're standing there without the Savior. And they won't be able to say, He did it! Mom did it! Daddy did it! Daddy made me this way because of the way He brought me up! My culture did it! Everything around me did it! My brain chemicals were messed up! That's what did it! You wrong your own soul. Depart from me. I never knew you. Most of our problems are self-inflicted wounds because we do not think about our decisions, our relationships, our providences according to the Word of God, the wisdom of God. How many young men and women make their lives miserable by impatiently marrying someone for emotional reasons instead of evaluating their potential lifelong spouse by the Word of God? We'd have fewer marriages, but better ones. If we simply said, I'm going to have to find him in here. How many homes are filled with sorrow and anguish because children refuse what their parents teach them from God's Word and follow the world instead? How many businesses are corrupt or destroyed because CEOs refuse to abide in God's wisdom? Why do we have the corporations that we presently do? With the rarest exceptions, it's because men throw out God's notion of stewardship and work for the buck. How many people are in jail at this very moment because they have rejected God's claim on their lives and neglected to wait patiently at wisdom's door? Instead of saying, got to have a word from the Lord. I need Him to teach me His book. I need Him to teach me how to live. Be fewer people in jail. Nope. We want our TVs, we want our earthly gods and goddesses. instead of the wisdom of God. Self-inflicted wounds. When we disregard Christ, the friend of sinners, we become our own worst enemies. Worse still, we make the God of love the God of judgment toward us for eternity. And this means that we're in love with death. All they that hate me love death. Two paths only exist in this life, and Proverbs has made that plain. The ways of the world, its philosophies, its goals, its immorality, its idolatry, are not ways of life. They're just ways of death. Do we get that? It doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter how moral you live if you're on the broad path to destruction. From the foulest in the gutters to the most moral, without Christ, your life is just a way of death. It may appear good to men. God may even use lost people to do good things for His own people or to do good for others. But that will never save them. Living in and for Jesus Christ alone is life. Everything else, a few breaths, a few moments of pleasure, and it's just another way of dying. Jesus Christ openly declared, "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself." John 5:26. And echoing what woman wisdom said, John wrote, "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life." No other options. Christ said, "Broad is the way that leads to death. Narrow is the way that leads to life." You can't reject God's wisdom without tasting the bitter fruits of it. And that even includes God's people. We can make some bad decisions. We can have some bad relationships when we ignore the crying out of wisdom in our marketplace. John also wrote, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." The wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God abides on him. What's the escape? The cross. Look there and see God's anger and fury and wrath finished in Christ. Christ, the God-man, came into the world to save His people from their sins. He saves them by grace through faith, which is not of themselves. It is the gift of God. He does this because He has ordained good works for them before the foundation of the world and intends for us to walk in them. How will they do that? It does not come from pastoral browbeating. Not the works that please Christ. It does not come by crushing God's children with legalistic works, putting people on a guilt trip. I don't want anybody on a guilt trip. I want you to repent of your sins and be holy. Leave the Holy Spirit to deal with you in guilt. not here to put a false trip on anybody, because if I put a false trip on you, you know what I get? A false professor. We've got enough of those. We need wise Christians, converted people, people with new hearts, people that have said, I will have nothing that dishonors my Lord. But I don't know exactly how to do that wisely, so I guess I better get to know Him. And He loved me and gave Himself for me, so I'm going to look for Him in His will right here. Never changes, says the same thing every day. Well, good works flow out of us, my dear friends. And seeking for wisdom comes by holding Christ crucified before sinners. I could pound this pulpit till my hands bleed. I could get on my knees and weep a river of tears, and not one soul would repent of sin and believe on Jesus. But I might get some converts to me. Not interested in that. We set before you Christ crucified, the God-man. Christ crucified, Christ resurrected, Christ ascended, Christ interceding, Christ returning. The Christ that loves His people, He loves them. He loves them. Look at the cross if you get confused about it. Look down into the empty tomb if you get confused about it. Look up at the Father's right hand and know that He is interceding for you. You're going to make it because of His intercession, applying to you what He's accomplished as the God-man. That motivates prayer, reading the Word, walking with Him faithfully. This great Christ fills our heart with love for God and a desire to walk with Him. Behold, what manner of love! Behold, what manner of love! Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called. We! You get a hold of what that we means. This is an astonishing verse. We! Are the sons of God. We. Wicked, broken sinners. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Listen, and every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. There it is. We love our God because He's made us His sons. And out of love and honor and esteem for Him, we walk in what He calls us to do. He's going to make us like Jesus. He's making us like Jesus. If that doesn't stir you, I don't have anything else to tell you. If I can get a band back here and I can get you all fired up, and all the flames will cool off in the car on the way home. Solomon loved his children. He went to great length to teach his children God's truth, covenant faithfulness, and biblical worship. Using the voice of woman wisdom, Solomon set the living God and His eternal wisdom before the eyes of his dear children. He gave them wisdom's biography, and he showed them that faith and loving obedience to God alone is life as God intended it. And that should be our desire as fathers for our children, and mothers for our children. As Moses said in Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. That's what Solomon's doing here. He's obeying that command. He's telling his son, life, my son, or death. Blessing or cursing. And I set before you, my brethren, the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Come to Christ, the wisdom of God, and believe on Him unto everlasting life. Come to Christ, young people. Come to Christ and live, those of you that do not know Him. If not, you love death. You will taste death in its bitterest expression in this life, dying without Christ. And you will experience eternal death in the depths of hell without escape. Flee from death and flee to Christ, the wisdom of God. Amen. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. How we need Thee. Our world loves death. Help us to love life in Jesus Christ. Amen.